It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the book of Revelation. We're in the third chapter. We're going to begin with the fifth verse. We're going to finish out the study on the Church of Sardis and then continue into the Church of Philadelphia. And so please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois. If you would like to call us, our phone number is 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website, that's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Got many messages there, our church constitution, plan of salvation. So please look at that and enjoy it, grow from it. And then also, if you'd like to send me an email, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com. And so if that helps to anything that you'd like to share, prayer requests or something that you'd like to send to me, I would love to have it. I can lift your anything that you want up in prayer at the same time to be in prayer for the study as we prepare it today. I would really appreciate that because each day and each radio broadcast and program that we have, it is so important that we bathe it in prayer before we begin. And so, now that you have that information, let's begin. Hopefully that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Revelation chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now to the church of Philadelphia. Verse 7, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. We're going to end with that because we won't get that far today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now before we start. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come and study your precious word today. Please help us to see and to understand each and every day how to serve you, how to walk with you. And we know that that begins only upon our decision to trust in you as our Savior. As we read your precious book or someone comes and shares verses, words from your precious book, the Bible, that allows the Holy Spirit, and even nature itself allows the Holy Spirit to come and to convict us of our sin, show us who we are. And the joy is different than what sometimes a doctor can show your problem. They just can't fix the problem. Well, when it comes to our God, he not only can show you the problem, but he can also fix the problem. And that problem is sin. And God the Father's Son, the Lord Jesus, was obedient, went to the cross of Calvary, died upon the cross. Father, we thank you for that. Oh, that all would trust in that offering that was made on the cross of Calvary. Starts there. It starts there, dear Lord, please, that everyone comes by faith to your Son, the Lord Jesus. And then begins a wonderful walk, having the Holy Spirit within our hearts to guide and to lead us. And please, dear Lord, that we not only would receive salvation from you, but also then we will serve you, praise you, worship you, honor you throughout our life. So please, each and every day, Father, help us to seek your will and way. But first of all, again, salvation must come into the hearts of all. So please, guide and lead us now as we have this study today. Show us your way and will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at these verses of Scripture here. And the word overcome is there. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. He that overcometh. Now, the overcomers, we have talked about this in the last study, the last time we were together. The overcomers are those that have overcome only because they have come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And they are overcomers because of the blood of Christ. And never can we be an overcomer, as it states here, on our own strength. It must be that we have come by faith to the Lord Jesus, trusted in Him for salvation, and begin to walk with Him. But it's the overcoming is where we start that process. And it has to begin, and can only begin, by us trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's the only place it can begin, just as we had when we were in the opening prayer there. We have to trust in the Lord Jesus. Now, we have some words here that the same shall be clothed in white raiment, those that overcometh. And yes, the day I trusted in Jesus Christ, the only thing that God the Father sees when He looks to me is the blood of His Son, because His blood has taken away my sin. And so because of that, also then I have received His righteousness. And so I am white with His righteousness. Now, I still live in the flesh, and I still have lots of problems with the flesh. But when it comes to our God, the only thing He sees, because the Lord Jesus has died for all of my sin, the ones I have committed, the ones I'm going to commit. Now, people have problems with that, but if you'll just think about, they think, how can God die for sins that you have not committed yet? How can He take those away when you haven't even committed them? How did He take my sins away when He died 2,000 years ago before I was born? He did it. Believe it. Trust in it. The Word of God tells us. And so please come by faith to Jesus and know that He has taken your sins away. And know that not only does He take your sins away, but He allows us to be overcomers. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and so we are forever saved. This book of life that's spoken of here, we have the white raiment, and then next in that verse of Scripture, I will not blot out His name out of the book of life. Now, the book of life is a book that is very exciting to look at, because your name must be recorded in the book of life. We had looked in the past concerning a couple of books. We have the in Genesis, why we have the book of the generations of Adam, and then in the book of Matthew, we have the book of the generations of the Lord Jesus. The one is a book of death, and the other is a book of life. And we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ to be in the book of life. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ is the book of life. And if that's true, and it is, can your name be blotted out of that book? The only way that your name can be placed in that book is for you to come by faith to Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 10:28 tells us, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Eternally saved. You see, once your name is written in the book of life, it is forever written in the book of life, never to be blotted out. What a promise. What a promise. God saves us. And God keeps us. Now, there's a lot of question as far as, is your name written in the book of life and through your birth and in your younger years? Because you see, a child before you're to the age of accountability, which we're not talking about a specific age. It's your place, your mind as far as maturity is concerned. And when you get to the age of accountability, that you truly know good from evil, right from wrong, you've got to make a choice, because at that point in time, you're going to be responsible for your sin. Up until that time, if you were to die, God will take you home to heaven. We have verses of Scripture that confirm that. David talks about that. The Lord clearly tells him that he can't come back to you, but you can go to him. You will go to him, because both were saved. And so it's a wonderful hope and promise that we have when a child dies, that they do go to heaven. And it's wonderful to know that they're in the arms of the Lord Jesus and just awaiting our arrival to get there. If you have lost a child in childbirth or by an accident as they were young, and you think, oh, why did the Lord take them so soon? Every one of us are appointed a day to be born and a day to die. Some of us have many years to live. Some of us have few years to live. We have to live every day as it is our last, that we can serve the Lord and praise the Lord and be excited about service to him, and acknowledging that God is the one that has set that time. And so we can't change it. We can have something to do with our life, the way we live, so that we are healthy. If you abuse your body and with drugs and alcohol and things like that, why expect to have some physical problems? You may live part of your life with a stroke because of your lifestyle. But you're not going to die until the time that God has sent takes place. So whether your name is recorded upon conception, and I believe birth starts at conception, not when the child is born, and so you know then very quickly that these abortions that are taking place and the millions that have been performed is murder. The one that performs it is a murderer. They will be held accountable as a murderer when God judges them, since our system and our society seems to accept such a such an awful thing to murder. They don't accept murder of an adult, and yet this unprotected child they seem not to be concerned about. And so at conception is when that child is born. Is that child's name written in the book of life until they get to the age of accountability, and then they have to make a choice to whether to trust in Jesus or not, and then it's re-recorded? I don't think so. I think God knows who is, and we know it. It's our choice, whosoever will. But when we make that choice to trust in Jesus, our name is written in the book of life. The specifics doesn't matter. The important thing is that it's written there. And how do you get it written there? You get it recorded because you trust by faith in the Lord Jesus. We have many verses of Scripture, and we're going to take a few minutes to look at those because it's just so good to read them. Some of them are, though, because they are not written. And so as we begin with the 13th chapter, they're all in Revelation that I have today, Revelation chapter 13, verses 6 through 8. And he opened his mouth, this is the beast, in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. So you see, those that choose not to come by faith to Jesus will bow down and follow the beast. Follow the beast. And so, if you'll notice, you know, God is the one that's giving the power to the beast, and you think, oh, why would he do that? We're sinners. God gives us a free gift of salvation, and you choose not to accept that free gift, and you're going to complain because God brings judgment against you? I think you better check. You better take a look at your heart, and you need to trust in Jesus today. Let's go to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17, verse 8. 17:8. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. Once again, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the Lamb's book of life. And so once again, those that are not written will face this awful time. Chapter 20, the 12th verse. Chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And so we see that there are two books, the book of life, and the books and the book. Now, the book, singular, is the book of life. If you'll come down to verse 15 with me, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So you see how important it is that you know about the book of life and that your name is recorded there. How does it happen? It happens by you calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. So please do that today. Do not wait one day. 21:27, Revelation 21:27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. In the Lamb's book of life. It's so important to be recorded. 22, Revelation 22:19-20. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. What a wonderful invitation that we have there as the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to come quickly. And, you know, think, well, it's been 2,000 years. Again, you know, a day to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And so it's just been 2 days. It's just been 2 days. He's going to come quickly. And John says, please, even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh, he wants him to come so quickly. But you'll notice up here that if you decide to change this word to fit your own agenda, you can't. Because if you do, that means that you're not saved. Because a person that is truly born again, that has the Holy Spirit within their heart, will look to these words, know that these words are true, and they will not alter them, either by adding to or taking away from. And so that's what it is. You just don't have any part of it. Because if you're saved, the Holy Spirit within your heart, you will not want to change this. You will want to learn it and grow from it and understand it because you are a child of God. You won't want to change it. Your part's gone. So if you have changed it and you said, I'm okay, I've made some alterations to this book, but it's okay. No, it's not. Because your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will be cast into the lake of fire if you choose not to trust in Jesus, because your name is not written down. As the other text said, the books will be opened. You'll see all your works in those books. And those that were written in that was recorded in the books, they will be just eliminated because they are filthy rags. The only act that will make a difference in your life from life to death or death to life is knowing Jesus as your Savior. And it's truly from death to life because you're dead in your trespasses and sins right now. I hope that you enjoyed those verses of Scripture, and I hope that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today you'll call upon Him because these verses tell us that our name will not be blotted out from the book of life. These members of the Church of Sardis and the trials that they've been through and the tribulation, they're so small and they're so weak, but God gives them a wonderful promise, and that promise is that I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I've got you. I'm holding you. So stay with me, solid and true. And so what a wonderful verses and promises to read and to look at. With the conditions that we find in Sardis, it's a miracle that any were born again. But there were a few, as the Scripture tells us here in verse 4, for thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, who which have not defiled. So look at that and don't miss that. As we look at the overcomers again, let's see what the overcomers will receive. It says they will, you know, be able to walk with Jesus, with me in white, the Scripture says. The same shall be clothed in white raiment. What a promise that is. Clothed in white raiment. Your name will not be blotted out of the book of life. What a promise. I need you to know that. Jesus will confess his name before his Father and before the angels, the Scripture says. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Beautiful verses of Scripture. We have a responsibility, and that sixth verse tells us of this responsibility. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Individual responsibility. Each one of us are responsible to our Lord. We are responsible. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Do you have an ear? Is that ear of yours dipped in the blood of Jesus so that you can hear? You see, you need to be born again. So many people discuss all kinds of doctrines and teachings and things, but you must be born again. It begins there. Responsibility is to listen, to hear what the Spirit says, not to what man says. Not to what man teaches, not what tradition tells us, but what the Word of God tells us, what the Spirit tells us, and we have the Word to read and the Spirit to guide us. God calls believers, uses individuals to proclaim His Word. But it's the Spirit within us that will bring it into us and be able for us to take it out to others. It's the ministering Spirit that allows us to do that. So, surrender to Him. Learn all about our God. The God of creation, the God of salvation, the God of eternity. Learn about Him. Trust in Him. Walk with Him. What a beautiful Scripture verses we have in the close of the Church of Sardis there at the sixth verse. Now on into the Church of Philadelphia. Different than others. God has nothing against them. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that overcometh and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. He that openeth and no man shutteth. He that shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door that no man can shut. For thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, hast not denied my name. Philadelphia, the message is to the true church in the midst of the professing church. Today, as always. And if you'll notice, we are to the sixth church. There's just one more. That's the Church of Laodicea. We come to a time that there are many churches, but few stay true to the Word of God. And so when they stop following the Word of God and make changes, as the last said, you know, as we looked in those verses of Scripture back in Revelation in the end of the 22nd chapter, that if you change this book, you can't be a child of God. It's not that you lose your salvation, it's that you never were, because your mindset and your heart allowed you to change this book, and if you do, then you're lost. You're lost. Now, this isn't a church doctrine that we have made up. This is the Word of God. Now, it tells it clearly and specifically about the book of Revelation. But I think that we need to understand it applies to God's holy Word from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. Today, when we say the true church, it's not who attends some building at some location every Sunday morning or even Sunday night and Wednesday night. Maybe you're there every day. Maybe you're the preacher of that church. But if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you're not a member of the true church. You're not born again, as John chapter 3 tells us. There are a lot of those that say they're Christian today, and used to be why we had quite a diversity of, you know, you had the Jews, and then you had the Catholics, and then you had the Protestants. Now, beyond that, there were always Christians, because, you see, a Jew can be a Christian. A Catholic can get saved and be a Christian. A Protestant can get saved and be a Christian. But all have to come by faith to Jesus Christ to be a Christian. It's believed that if you are not a member of the Catholic Church, that you're Protestant, and that's not true. Protestant involves those that broke away with Martin Luther. There have been Christians, a remnant of Christians, from the birth of the church, and that is who the true church is, not the professing church as we know it today. And I am so sad to say that the true church is dropping in numbers and the professing church is growing. True believers can be among the professing church. And I believe it's safe to say that you could go to any church anywhere, and nowhere will there be everyone that's saved. I hope that everyone knows Jesus as their Savior that comes here. I don't know the heart. I preach salvation to them each and every time that the doors open. They know that they need to be saved. Now, it's their choice of whether they come by faith to the Lord Jesus or not. But we have the opposite side, too. We have many churches that have become a social, a country club type setting. Come, be comfortable. Don't worry about wearing your best. It's just church. It's just you're just coming to worship God. What's that? That's a sad, sad statement, but that shows you the condition of the church. One said that if you come as you are, you're going to go as you were, and I think that's right. We need to trust in Jesus. We need to walk every day with Him. We need to follow after Him. So we have folks that are born again in many of these social churches, professing churches. But as a whole, they're just slowly, slowly dying away. And those numbers are dwindling. And also true churches are dwindling, those that preach the truth. Search it out. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This church of Philadelphia is about 25 miles south of Sardis, named by its founder, the king of Pergamos, and the name means brotherly love. We're going to enjoy the study. We'll get to this one next time we come together. I just have a question. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?